Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
I'm frequently asked, how do I control my thinking when there's so much chaos going on? And, you know, it's a really solid question. You know, we go through life with an extraordinary amount of information that basically hits us in the face every day. And for years, you know, I've told people one of the greatest things that you can do is learn how to master your environment so that you're kind of controlling the amount of information that is coming to you on a regular basis so that you can control your thinking and be productive in what you're doing and make good decisions. But it seems to be an ongoing thing that is currently in our world escalating with so much going on in the world and so many different problems and serious problems that basically almost anywhere a person goes, their mind is being inundated with things that represent fear and anxiety and worry and doubt and shame and racism and sickness and disease and death. Like there's a lot going on right now. And my inbox is constantly full with questions from clients about how to kind of handle their mindset through everything so that, number one, they don't get engulfed in drama. They don't get engulfed in fear. And number two, they're able to continue to move their life forward to some degree. I have an author that I've liked for a long time that I kind of sought out one of his lessons for this particular podcast. So I'm going to reference a book. The book is The Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene, G-R-E-E-N-E. I hope to have him as a guest one day. He's written, I don't know, six or eight books basically on human potential and human development, and they're really good books. These are really meaty, you could call them self-improvement books, self-empowerment books, but they're really books about human truth. You know, who we are as people, who we are as a world of people moving in a direction, how do we operate? How do we think? How do we react? What are the things about us that we don't know that we need to be aware of so that we can more master ourselves? And like I said, I've always really loved his material. It's really, like, if you look at this book, I mean, it's a substantial book, and all of his books are quite substantial, by the way. And there's no fluff in any of these. So when I remembered this story that he told about Pericles, who was a Greek politician that started practicing around 463 BC in Athens. And, you know, Athens is named after the goddess Athena. Goddess Athena was basically born of Zeus, the head of Zeus. And one of the great things to know about this was that Pericles practiced something called nous, N-O-U-S, N-O-U-S-E, I believe it is. N-O-U-S, but it's pronounced noose, like N-O-O-S-E. So, and what is noose? So I have a definition of it here. Noose, in the late 17th century, and from the Greek, means mind, intelligence, intellect. But it's really clarity of mind, intelligence, and intellect. There's a lot of different things that you can look up around this. I have a great, like, substantial Wikipedia article on noose for, I mean, it's out there. Like, you could look it up, you could do the history on it yourself. You could get this book, like, full of great stuff around it. But Athena, who was the goddess, the Greek goddess, stood for rationality. And basically, it was the greatest gift of the gods to mortals, for it alone could make a human act with divine wisdom. So the idea is that this person, Pericles, he was very much involved in a lot of the conflict that was going on between Athens and Sparta and like all the kind of craziness that was going on back in that time frame, again, around 463 BC. And there was a lot of opinion, a lot of heated opinion, a lot of consequences, a lot of rhetoric, you know, not that much unlike what we experience now in, you know, in the world, in politics, in problems that we all have to deal with. And he mastered this thing called nous, so that he could literally deal with all of these things in a very rational way, with the idea of what is best for Athens, right? Because there's so many voices that come at you with a problem. There has to be some way to chunk everything down so that we're really taking in the consideration of all, but making the right decisions and not making decisions out of fear, not making decisions out of ego. So I'm gonna give you a couple of paragraphs from Robert Greene's book here that I think are absolutely fascinating. He says, like Pericles in an assembly, you're infected by all of the drama that others churn up. You are continually reacting to what people give you, experiencing waves of excitement, insecurity, anxiety that make it hard to focus. Your attention is pulled this way and that, and without a rational standard to guide your decision, you never quite reach the goals that you set. Now, I think it's fascinating that he wrote this, because he actually brought it to the end result in this paragraph. So with all this craziness, excitement, being bombarded with different opinions and ideas, not only does it clutter the mind and prevent us from making solid decisions, but we never quite reach the goals. So that's another question that I get frequently. And I see this almost everywhere. Like people talking about, here's what I want to do in life, but I'm not getting there. I'm working hard. I'm not reaching the goal. And for years working with individuals, when I first start working with them, one of the things that I do is kind of a bit of a deep dive into the work that they are doing. Like what is your daily calendar look like? What are you working on? How productive is that work? What are your skill sets? What strategies are you using to achieve results? In many cases, the strategies are sound. You know, there may be a little something off here or there, whatever, that can be tweaked. But what we find is that there is a scattering of focus that is taking place with most people. And that scattering of focus is them reacting to what's going on in their outside world. Outside meaning outside of their personal body, right? So they've got all of these different problems and ideas and fear that is hitting them at one time, and also emergencies, like things that they believe that they have to take care of immediately, and it takes them off track immediately in their day. They never get back on track. Days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. And like Green is saying, they don't reach the goals. He says, at any moment, this can change with a simple decision to cultivate your inner Athena and apply nous. Rationality is then what you will value the most and what will serve as your guide. So let me take you through this a little bit. Let's see here. So a little bit about Athena. Athena was literally born from the head of Zeus, her name itself reflecting this, a combination of god, Theos, and mind, nous. But Athena came to represent a very particular form of nous. Eminently practical, feminine, and earthy, she is the voice that comes to heroes in the time of need, instilling in them a calm spirit, orienting their minds forward toward a perfect idea for victory and success then giving them the strategy to achieve this. To be visited by Athena was the highest blessing of them all, and it was her spirit that guided great generals and the best artists, inventors, and tradesmen. I mean, that covers a wide range of people, right? So it's not just the generals, it's not just the politicians, it is the business people, it's the artists, it's the people that are out there creating something on a regular basis. Under her influence, a man or woman could see the world with perfect clarity and hit upon action that was just right for the moment. Now, who wouldn't want that? Like, seriously, who would not want that? I think people are looking for that all the time. So much information is coming to them, they literally can't make a decision. They don't know what decision to make. And with the world that we're currently experiencing, we've never quite experienced anything quite like this, at least for the people that are alive right now. I'm sure I could bring stories that would be relevant from the past in history, but nobody would really understand them because you didn't live then. So I'm talking about in our lifetime, within a generation or so. The consequences for even the most trivial slight, the most trivial remark, the most trivial action are proving to be quite disastrous for people based on the idea that there are so many people out there that literally will gang up on a person that does something that they think is wrong. Now, mind you, it may be wrong, it may not be wrong. That's really not the point. The point is that we drag people basically to the gallows before we've had any kind of rational discord about what's going on. And it's full of uneducated opinions. Like, people have a lot of emotional opinions that are going on, which leads to a lot of this craziness. But it's not an educated opinion. They don't back things up with statistics and studies and things that are hardcore evidence to hold their opinion. It's just an emotional opinion. And I think that was probably brought in a big way with the internet, and even bigger way with social media. So now it's like everybody has a voice in the same room, but there's so many people in that room that we're not really getting to any kind of clarity. We're not getting to this, what they're talking about in the book here, this inner Athena, this inner nous, where it is, there's a calmness, there's a clarity, and ultimately right decisions are being made for the good of all human beings. So for Pericles to cultivate his inner Athena, Pericles had to find a way to master his emotions. Now think about this. Emotions turn us inward, away from nous, away from reality. We dwell on our anger or our insecurities. If we look out at the world and we try to solve problems, we see things through the lens of these emotions. They cloud our vision. Pericles did something different, though. He trained himself to never react in the moment, to never make decisions while under the influence of strong emotions. Now, let's just pause on that one for a second. Think about this. Think about how you could apply this to your life for a moment. Strong emotions really cloud our reality, because we see it through the filter of that emotion. And that emotion is very much like a drug. We only see it based on what the emotion is actually highlighting, emphasizing, pointing to as important. We don't see everything that's going on. We only see through the lens of that emotion. And what he's saying here is that Pericles realized that he needed to distance himself so that he would never, it actually set a value for himself. I'll never make a decision under strong emotion. It's a one-sided decision. You're blind to the truth when you're making decisions under strong emotion. He said instead, he analyzed his feelings, right? So think about this. something happens, strong emotion, he stops, analyzes his feelings. Usually, when he looked closely at his insecurities or his anger, he saw that they were not really justified, and they lost their significance under scrutiny. So that is literally taking the time to kind of separate yourself from the problem, allow the emotion to come down, to really start looking at it with a rational mind. And then you're asking a different question. Like, why do I feel insecure about this? Why do I feel fear about this? Why do I feel anger about this? Because now you're doing some inward work when you do this. If you don't, you almost always end up projecting the insecurity, the anger, the ego, the fear, whatever it is, onto another person or onto another thing. And that is not thinking rationally. That is emotional projection onto a problem or a person or a situation. That does not lead to rational discourse. That does not lead to solid problem solving. So things stay in a chaos that keeps circling back on itself and making it more chaotic, to the destruction of just about everybody that's involved, because they don't pull themselves away from that intense emotional feeling before they actually sit down and think. Okay. He then says, sometimes he had to physically get away from the heated assembly to retire to his house. He had to take himself out. I need to remove myself from these people, right? So that's like assemblies like Congress, I guess, right? So he had to remove himself from that situation so that he could actually think clearly, because there's too much going on. He can't get his mind straight. It's being pulled in too many different directions. He would then remain there alone for days on end, calming himself down. Slowly, the voice of Athena would come to him. He decided to base all of his political decisions on one thing: what actually served the greater good of Athens. His goal was to unify the citizenry, why can't I say that? Enough through genuine love of democracy and belief in the superiority of the Athenian way. Having such a standard helped him avoid the ego trap. So now, look, he pulls himself away. He analyzes himself. Why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? Not that there's something wrong with him, but to get to the truth of why he feels the way that he feels. And I have taught repeatedly that it's our inner truth that really sheds the most light if we can get to it. If we emotionally react, we don't understand what's actually going on. The emotion that we're experiencing is very important. It's important to really understand what it is and what its motive is, right? Because emotion has motive. There's no question about it. It has an intention. And in many cases, the intention is to deflect off of anything that is going on that is insecure or in fear or incorrect within us and project it onto something else so that we can stay right. And staying right makes us feel certain. When we feel certain, we feel safe. And then usually the fear and the anxiety start to come down. But we didn't solve the problem. We actually made it worse. And many times we buried it under something, right? But it only comes back to rear its ugly head later on. He stayed home as long as it took, not only to analyze where the emotion's coming from and what it means, but then after he's got that sorted out, so he's not making a decision based on raw emotion or intense emotion, he wants to hear the inner voice of Athena. He wants to hear that noose. Now, what he's talking about here is truth. That's what it is. If you get in here and you do some study on this idea of noose, you find that it all leads to the proper use of the mind and the intellect will lead us to truth. It will lead us to the ultimate truth. There's not two conflicting truths in the universe. It's either true or it's not true. You may have something that appears to be conflicting and you believe that it's true, but you probably don't have all the evidence yet, right? So that is why it's important to take time so that you can really think through this thing. Now, he also set a standard for himself, and the standard was, what's best for Athens? We can set standards very, very similar. What's best for our company? What's best for our family? What's best for our country? Really looking at how do we want to live our life? What kind of world do we want to live in? And what's best for everybody, right? I mean, how many ways have we seen this message? You know, treat your neighbor like yourself. You know, be kind to other individuals. Have empathy. Don't judge. You know, really try to step in someone else's shoes for 5 minutes. We want to pull away from the ego and consider what the truth is about what's actually going on, and remove ourselves from the accusation, because if we get into an accusatory stance, generally it's high emotion, and then we fight for the right of that accusation. Now, I believe that if you step back, you remove the emotion, you allow this truth to come to you based on this focus, right? And it's interesting because they use the god Athena here, right? So they say, or Green says, Athena would come to them, right? So apparently the way that this is documented, they have it so that this goddess or the intelligence of this goddess would come to them. It's no different than like when we sit back and we decompress, analyze a problem, have a standard that we want to shoot for, and a higher authority of truth begins to come into our mind. It starts to become very clear. Clarity is the natural state of the universe. Fear, worry, doubt, stress, many different voices with different opinions all at one time, all cause a scattered mind. And it induces fear. And when fear is induced, we don't know what to do to be safe. We become scared. And we start making decisions based on the fear, not based on the truth, not based on the calm. Calm is also a higher standard, right? So if we're saying, I want to make a decision that brings me peace and calm versus a decision to stay safe, it could be very different, because people will often make decisions to stay safe out of fear, and it's not a decision that makes them safe. It actually creates more reasons to be afraid. Now, where does this come from? I think we have to address where it comes from. And I think there was a great man, Fyodor Dostoevsky, who wrote something that I have always found very interesting. And what I also find interesting was that Green put it in this book. And I'm going to read it to you, because I think this kind of nails it in a nutshell as far as like the human mind. We have to remember that our mind has to be cultivated. Nobody's born with a rational mind. A rational mind takes time and deliberate attention to get to the place where we actually know how to use it so that it's rational. So Dostoevsky said this: it's just as though one's second self were standing beside one. One is sensible and rational oneself, but the other self is impelled to do something perfectly senseless and sometimes very funny. And suddenly you notice that you are longing to do that amusing thing. Goodness knows why. That is, you want to, as it were, against your will. Though fighting against it with all of your might, you still want to. And I think that we can think, when we were kids, if you go back and you look at your life, the younger you were, the more that is real. There were things that you wanted to do. You may know that you shouldn't have done them. You were impelled to do them anyway. And there's this want to. There's this want to do the thing that is silly, the thing that is crazy, the thing that is that is absurd. That is an unrefined mind at work. So the idea here is that we have to really focus on the idea of where do we want the result to go ultimately? Because everything else is just chaos. Now, he wrote something else here. He said, emotions tend to narrow the mind, making us focus on one or two ideas that satisfy our immediate desire for power or attention, ideas that usually backfire. Now, with calm spirits, you can entertain a wide range of options and solutions. You will deliberately wait longer for acting and to reassess your strategies. The voice will become clearer and clearer. When people besiege you with their endless dramas and petty emotions, you will resent the distraction and apply your rationality to think past them. Like an athlete continually getting stronger through training, your mind will become more flexible and more resilient. Clear and calm, you will see answers and creative solutions that no one else can envision. So let's just recap this. So the idea is, how do we get into the rational mind where we're bringing in truth where we can see it? We understand that we're being bombarded with ideas. We understand that we're having an intense emotional reaction. We make a conscious choice and a set a standard for ourselves to remove our, before we make a decision, a matter of fact, not before, we never make a decision when we're in an intense emotional state. No matter what, we remove ourselves from the situation and we take as long as necessary to get into a calm mind. We assess what our intense emotion is about and write it down so that we really understand what's going on. Is it some kind of fear? Is it some kind of problem that I'm not aware of in myself? Is it some kind of ego? Am I holding an idea that is separate from the good intention that I actually have? Whatever it might be, we really get to the root of it. We put that aside. We ask ourselves, what is best for the all, whatever the all is, your family, your business, yourself, the country, whatever. What is the best for everything involved, concerned? And then we make decisions based on that idea, because when we get that clarity, the truth then comes in. And then we think, well, what's the decision? That's where the truth comes in. When you do those steps, the truth comes into your mind. It becomes clear what the decision is. It becomes clear what the answer to the problem is. It becomes clear on what it is that we need to do. So one of the reasons that I chose this book, and people, get this book. Like, it is a phenomenal book. Read all of Robert Greene's stuff. It's really great. Even if you don't agree with it all, you're going to get a really in-depth perspective that is going to cause you to think. I mean, it'll cause you to, if you don't agree with something in here, it's going to cause you at least to research it and come to your own opinion, which I also think is phenomenal. But the idea is that right now we're going through a time where there's a lot of intense emotion. Just a tremendous amount of intense emotion. And I see people making decisions in that intense emotion, and they're making huge mistakes and errors because of it. We need to really learn how to pull ourselves back and get to a rational mind. So listen to this as often as you can. Get Robert Greene's book. And listen, I only touched a couple of pages in the front of this thing. It's an amazing book. Again, it's the Laws of Human Nature by Robert Greene. And there's another one, the 48 Laws of Power, which is really fantastic also. Like I said, he's got a bunch of books. He's got about 8 of them, I think. I think you're really enjoying him. He's a great author. I'll try to have him on at some point. All right, everybody, remove yourself from intense emotion and deal with a rational mind instead. You'll be much happier you did. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.